You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Bernadette Peters.
Hey, I'm Anissa Foles.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm Fergie L. Philippe.
Hi, I'm Eliza Oman.
Hola, soy Florencia Cuenca.
Y yo soy Jaime Lozano.
Hi, this is L. Morgan Lee.
It's Alex Brightman from Broadway and beyond.
Hi, this is Joe Iconis.
And this is Lauren Marquez.
Y estás escuchando.
And you're listening to
B-Way Show.
B-Way Show.
B-Way
Show.
The podcast.
Hey, friends. Welcome to B-Way Show, the podcast. Your home for theater conversations from a passionate Broadway fan and reporter. I'm your host, Shoshana, and I want to start off by emphasizing Black Lives Matter, period.
The show must go on.
This week's guests are Tony nominee Mr. Joe Iconis, best known for writing Be More Chill, Broadway Bounty Hunter, and Love and Hate Nation, as well as his gang of super talents, Joe Iconis and family, and singer-songwriter and Broadway actor Lauren Marquez, who portrayed Brooke Lost in Be More Chill on Broadway, Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors at the Pittsburgh Public Theater, and Miss Asp in Love and Hate Nation at Two River Theater. Here's our conversation from April 1st, recorded for my live YouTube series, The Show Must Go On, Line. Enjoy.
2 o'clock on the dot, and we are live. That's so exciting. Hey, everyone. Shoshana here with Joe Iconis and Lauren Marquez. How are you feeling today?
We're feeling well,
you know,
as well as anyone can feel, considering the circumstances.
I was so excited to have a reason to put on makeup and wear normal clothes, so here we are.
That is what I was thinking, too. I haven't, put on makeup since Broadway announced that it was closing. Uh-huh. And I thought, this is fun. I haven't done this in a while. And a dress? Who knew those still existed?
I wore a dress too. I did.
Yeah. And so now that everyone's just sheltering in place, what have y'all been up to?
You go.
We have been, it's been so strange because it's been a combination of it feeling like our day-to-day lives are totally different because we're, confined in our homes. But also I have a lot of writing deadlines and a lot of the work that I do is kind of stuff that I do in my own space anyway. And so I feel like half of my life feels totally different and upheaved, and the other half of my life feels like literally nothing has changed. It's just I still have to turn in the scripts at the same date that I did, a month ago. So it's so weird. It's just so strange. But I've been fairly productive, I think, in creating the stuff I'm supposed to be creating. Even though it's been challenging for sure. And I've been watching a lot of movies, more movies than normal. I guess that's it. I wish that I had some great thing that I said I was doing.
That's perfect. Lauren, how about you?
I've been watching a lot of the movies that he's been watching. And I've been writing a little bit, but that only happened because I hit a thing about 4 days in where I was like, I have to be writing and I have to be using. And then I went, what the hell am I talking about? It's, I don't have to create anything, which I think is true for everyone. And I was like, I think my only job right now is survive this global pandemic. And so I gave myself a few days, then I woke up and I wanted to write, but that keeps going away and I'm fine with that. So that I've had a few self-tapes, which feels really weird because it's who knows when or where. So they kind of, it's something to do. It goes out into the void. It's another reason to put makeup on. And really, that's it. I read a book. There you go.
You can read?
Yes. He married me anyway.
What book?
Valley of the Dolls. I'm obsessed with it. I've never read it. It's great. Yeah. It's
very cool. And any fun movies? I know we've been doing a Marvel marathon here because it's just one of those times that you can watch 22 movies now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been, I'm a fairly film literate guy. And I love movies a lot. And so I have what this time forced me to do was to create a list of movies that I've always wanted to see that I haven't seen. And so I've been sort of like slowly working my way through the list. A lot of the movies are like sort of like classic, like 1970s, like arty movies, you know? And so I feel like every time it's like, you know, Lauren's like, oh, you want to watch a movie? I'm always like, yeah, do you want to watch like a really sad, slow movie about a really depressed white man from 1972? Like all the movies that I'm watching. But I've seen some like classic movies that are classic to me movies that I had never seen before that I've loved, like House of Games, which is a David Mamet movie that I had never seen before. That was pretty wonderful. I loved that one.
I threw in there as a daytime option, Life with Mikey, because it's on Disney Plus. I remember being obsessed with it as a kid. Did not realize the amount of cameos by theater people that is, it's insane. Bill Finn makes an appearance in this movie.
Yeah,
he has a line.
Life with Mikey, I just never saw. It's this this James Lapine movie. Yeah, from the early 90s. And it's like literally the entire cast of Falsettos, the Broadway production from 92, is in the movie. It's insane. Like, it's insane. It's really remarkable.
We're going to watch that.
Yeah, it's like Michael Greif directed a movie in 2008 and the entire cast of Next to Normal is in it. Like, it's insane. It's remarkable.
It's really
fun. Watch it.
It's a fun movie.
That's fun. Yeah, tonight I think we're going to watch Justice League. I think we're in like a very superhero feeling right now. And then tomorrow back to musicals.
Is Justice League the one where like all of the superheroes are in it together?
So we actually, funny enough, I'm such a nerd. I have my Superman candle, aww, DC, and then Iron Man candle from Marvel. Because it's fun to support local business, and we got this from the local comic book shop. So yeah, Justice League, all the DC big characters, and then Avengers, all the big Marvel characters.
Right, okay.
The more
I'm obviously not up on my superhero movies. I just have sort of like missed it. But
yeah.
I shouldn't, because those are the only movies that are like...
I saw Ant-Man.
Are like the big movie. I saw Ant-Man too.
Wait, we saw Ant-Man together.
Yeah. That's the
so
only
funny.
One that I've really seen.
What?
It's so embarrassing.
It's pretty good.
Just because you know them so well, what do you think is going to be the first like Marvel superhero movie that gets turned into a musical? Because it's known.
That's a good question. I mean, I feel like I would love Black Panther just because that is possibly the only movie I think I've ever seen in theaters more than once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That was back when MoviePass was a thing. I don't know if you were part of that.
Yeah.
And
we have friends who were.
We've heard. Yeah.
It was crazy.
Black Panther, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Because there would be some cool fight scenes that you could also like dance. Same kind of with Wonder Woman. I feel like they have a lot of good choreography potential.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I should say, all of these movies, I should say. Also, I just want to say that obviously I know that Spider-Man was a musical, but is Spider-Man, is that DC?
That's Marvel.
Okay, great. Yeah. I mean, after, you know.
Totally.
In a post-Spider-Man Broadway, what will be the next superhero?
Once you're turning on the light, you know?
Yeah, yes, exactly. Black Panther, turn on the light.
I like that. Cool, so we have a few people... We have some people tuned in, so I'm just going to keep the, hey, you guys. Someone wants a Spider-Man turn off the dark revival. Bold move.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
I like that show. Yeah, whatever.
So besides from that, I also want to ask, have you been watching any Muppets? Because I know that's also always a fun one.
Yeah, I have been watching some Muppets. What did I watch the other day? Yeah, I watched the Muppet movie.
Is that when I was asleep?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched a lot.
I sleep really late.
Lauren Marcus always sleeps, like she's like a late sleeper. And I am the opposite of that. And so a lot of my, I sort of like live a whole day before Lauren Marcus like makes an appearance,
100%.
Before she emerges from the bedroom. And so, yeah, I was watching a lot of Muppet content pre-Lauren awakening.
Lauren, I am definitely on your sleep schedule.
It's gotten outlandish. Last week, there's a night I stayed up till 7 a.m., which I've never, like, that is not something I do, but I can't. And then I sleep till like 2. I don't know how to stop.
Well, Well, I think during this quarantine, it's fine, right? Like, yeah, I think, what
again,
is time?
You're right. What is time? We're doing okay. You seem healthy. That's great.
True. Healthy all around. Seems same with you, for sure. Yeah.
Save some of it, you know, maybe.
So has staying inside, I know, Joe, you were saying that there are a lot of things that you have to do anyway. Has it helped with the creativity? Has it helped with the workflow? Because now you feel like, well, I can't go outside. No. Yes, no.
No, it's made it worse. It's made it harder. It's only bad so far. In that, you know, I like to choose to be inside. I like to choose to be like, oh, I can't do anything because I have to write right now. And so it's just such a weird thing to feel like this, you know, I'm being forced to be inside and for good reason. But it's wild. So I'm still sort of navigating the mental, the mental issues that arise from just being in one place. And I'm definitely like an antsy writer anyway. Like when I write, I normally it's hard for me to be in one place. Like I tend to I'll start my apartment and then I'll go to a coffee shop and I'll go to a bar or a restaurant or wherever. And so to just sort of be confined to one space, it's really tricky. And I'm trying to figure out how to do that. But I'm really amazed at all of the people who are really inspired by it. And I'm trying to let them inspire me and not just look at all the people creating things and be like, these assholes, these jerks, I don't believe them that they're writing that. Yeah. It's hard for me not to look at people and be like, they wrote that 5 years ago and they're just pulling it out of their mouth. They're pretending they wrote it during this quarantine. I know the truth.
Yeah.
So we'll say it.
Shaking my fist at them.
We shake our fists at them. So I'm like just trying to, you know, figure it out. It's strange. It's a strange new circumstance. And also I'm very aware that I'm very lucky to like have a really lovely home. Like, you know, we have an apartment that's really nice and really comfortable and my family is close and I'm not worried about like losing my apartment, but like in a way that so many people that we know are. And so it's just such a strange, you know, such a strange time.
Yeah, and Lauren, I know you're also a songwriter in your own right, besides from being an amazing performer. How's your creativity? I mean, and just a side note that I feel like people are like, oh, we have to use this time to be creative, but use this time for whatever.
Yeah, I'm using this, there's this thing called the Tiny, do you know the NPR's Tiny Desk Concerts?
Yeah.
Which you'll actually did one. Yeah. So they have a contest every year. But it's open to unsigned bands, singer songwriters, musicians, and I've entered it, well, maybe not last year, but every other year, three or four times, and you basically make a video of a song. So I've been working the last few weeks on a song, a video I'll be submitting and hopefully putting out in the next few days. So that's actually taken up a good deal of my time. I've obsessed over it because I really haven't had much else to do, you know? And trying to record 11 different musicians remotely has been a new challenge. So that's taken up a good deal of time. And like I said, I really did give myself a break, but I found out like after a few, 4 days, it's like I kind of just wake up wanting to create something. And so it was nice to let myself wait for that. But also if I go the next 2 months without it, fine. Like, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. All of us do a lot. It's okay if it doesn't happen. But
Yeah, I feel very similar way. Like the first week, you know, I saw all of these live interviews and live performances, and I was like, do I join in that or do I wait a little while?
No, right? It's hard to know.
But now that I waited, and I feel like a lot better. I feel like because I did it on my time. I don't know if you've been making any fun drinks. I've made my version of a quarantini, but it's still pretty. This is like the simple version of just sparkling water, mint in a chalice, because that's just more fun. You can add some more fun flavors, if you will. But really, drinking anything out of a fun glass recently, I've noticed, just adds to it.
That's so him.
Yeah, I like a fanciful bit of glassware. Always.
Always.
Yeah.
for sure.
I mean, I'm drinking water right now out of a juice glass. It nice. Has some lovely coral on
we're,
it.
Wait, we're home. Hold on. You keep talking. I mean, like, this is
get the nice glasses, honey.
Yes. So I know. I should have prepped you. You know, in the prep notes.
We would have had it ready. But actually, we've run out of like large like pint glasses, and I like to drink water out of large pint glasses. Mm-hmm. And so like over the years, I've just kind of broken, and I'm like such a bitch about the type of glassware that I like, that I have not been able to find pint glasses that I have deemed like worthy. You know, and I don't even know what I'm looking for. Yeah, it's like I want something that conjures like both like mid-century design and the Muppets and like woodland creatures and Broadway, you know, in the 70s. So I know I'm wanting too much for my pint glasses.
What's upsetting is I'm realizing so many of our glasses have been broken by Diane. Like, we had a whole series that was all World's Fair glasses. They're all gone.
There's just one left.
This is just, you know, like a classic martini.
It's a nice, nice one.
How do you call it? But these are our Mad Men glasses.
Yeah,
you love Mad Men.
Yeah, we love Mad Men.
Club Cumming.
Yeah, these are Alan. So Alan Cumming's Club Cumming. Before Club Cumming was like an actual place.
Oh my God.
Fish's Eddie like released these glasses, and I just thought they were cool. And they say Club Cumming on them. Like, how fun!
It's like a simple wine glass with a gold. Like, truly, these show up like every month. A new box of glasses. These are from Joe's brother. Just some nice quotes. Oh yeah, whiskey glasses.
My brother Phil got us these glasses.
Big fan of Phil.
Yeah, Philip John Iconis. And this one says, "Always carry a flask of whiskey in case of snake bite, and furthermore, always carry a small snake." W.C. Fields. How cute.
I really feel like I'm going to bring these back, but our crazy glassware has all been broken by our cat.
It's all been damaged.
Like all of it.
So, yeah.
That's a smattering of what we have.
Bailey, we all know and love Bailey. She has an amazing question. Joe's favorite role Lauren has played and Lauren's favorite Joe Iconis song.
My favorite role that Lauren has played, and I'm going to take my own things out of it. I think my favorite role that Lauren has played is probably Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors. Aww. She just played Audrey at the Pittsburgh Public production of Little Shop. And it's just amazing. Like, obviously we're married, but you know, I see a lot of performances. I see a lot of like actors and things, and she's just the greatest. Like, her take on Audrey is so amazing. And it's just like, it's as wonderfully acted an iconic musical theater role as you will ever see. And of course the singing is great and everything about it is great, but it's just the what she does with the character feels so fresh while still honoring the original intent. It's like amazing. Love it, love it, love it.
Hey, oh, I love to hear that.
Yeah.
I have, I'm sitting here, I was thinking about it. I did hear what you said, it was very sweet. I have like, I call it kind of like a top five of Joe's songs, and I'm constantly kind of placing ones in my top five.
Yeah.
It's always changing, it's an open door.
Fair.
And remind me if I've said any, if I'm forgetting one, then I'm always like, that's in my top five.
But I don't know what your top five is, so.
Well, one of them is always Ammonia. I think Ammonia might be my like all-time favorite song you've ever written. It's absolutely bananas in the best possible way. It's so funny. It's so sad. And I look forward to one day maybe I'll sing it. I love Hey Dad from the upcoming Hunter S. Thompson musical,
which we'll talk about.
Catch online with,
which we'll talk about in a few minutes.
Yes. Oh, you'll talk about that, which I think you can get online on YouTube with Jared Weiss singing, right, Hey Dad?
Ooh,
I also love Kaboom, also from that show, that you can catch George. I remember because we watched Two Player Game last week, and I was like, I love that so much.
Yeah.
And I think those are the top three that come to mind. They're so, oh God, I also love Run Away From You. That's what it's called, right?
Mm-hmm.
The werewolf song. That is for sure up in my top five. Cool. I have to stop. It's like, I can't, I get on kicks. I get on little jags. I love Honey. I gotta stop.
In like 5 minutes, she's just gonna be like, wait, I love this.
I love all of them so much. And then I like rediscover one I haven't thought about in like 6 years.
Yeah.
And be like, oh my God. And then get on a kick with that.
For sure.
Wouldn't it suck if you hated my work?
Yeah, it would be rough. I mean, honestly, I can't even think of a song you've played me that I have not liked. Have I ever had a reaction?
I mean, I think there's some that you like more than others, but no, yeah. I think you like my stuff. But in the same way, I've never seen a performance of yours that I haven't thought was really good.
That has to be wrong. Yeah. I mean, I think he has to be being nice. Have not been good.
No, I'm correct.
We even just did one, and we just did one for the Senior Lee thing, and I like forgot my lyrics and had to stop. It's not that big of a deal.
Who cares about that?
I mean, I
care. It's not a good performance is not because you remember the words.
You know
like someone who's not even a performer can remember. Anyone can memorize something. Doesn't that do with whether the performance is good or not? Who cares? Stop. Start again. Put in an earpiece. That has nothing to do with being a good actor or not.
I guess not. But I just am in awe over how good his stuff is. And sometimes
I love it. Well, and it's been really fun as this quarantine has been happening. I've been thinking, well, what videos do I have that maybe I can like repurpose or find like a new life for? So I've been going through a lot of like the Be More Chill post shows and like ones that had like, you know, Joe chatting on stage and my like, you know, report. Now I'm just putting them out as actual like songs that you can just play the 3 or 4 minutes for. And did that for the goodbye song, which
thank you,
which was nice and emotional. And Cindy Howard, who's on this message thread right now, was like messaged me and she's like, well, now I'm emotional all over again. I'm like, join the club. So have there been any moments during this quarantine where you've had some time to reflect on what a crazy year it's been?
Yeah, there actually has been. You know, I've been going so nonstop for the last 2 years, like 2+ years, really. And when I say that, like, I don't even mean like nonstop and like it's like nonstop in the most extreme way. You know, like how everything happened with Being More Chill, there was never a second for me to like catch my breath, and there was never a moment where I was like, ah, the show's open, cool, let me just enjoy this. I was like actively working for the show since the moment we announced it was gonna happen in New York City. There was never a day where that wasn't a full-time job in addition to doing 10 million other shows. And so this has been the first time, honestly, in 2 years that I've had enough space to actually think back on the kind of whirlwind of my last, you know, couple of years. And even, you know, 2019, having Be More Chill and then opening and closing Broadway Benihana and opening and closing Love and Hate Nation. Like, those are all new, you know, original musicals, which take a long time and are a lot of work. And so to sort of have those things back to back was really a wild ride. And so, yeah, I feel like I'm still just like processing it and internalizing all of that stuff that happened to me, you know?
Totally. And Lauren, you've been on a crazy ride as well. How have you been handling it all?
It is weird because this really feels like the time that everything kind of stopped.
Right.
And I've been taking a lot of walks and I have been thinking about it. Yeah. It was wild because like last year when all this was happening, it's crazy because we didn't see a lot of each other, even though we were working on the same project. And so it was really exciting, but I also, you know, I miss Joe. I miss Joe a lot. And so it was when all of it kind of around the summer, like the Be More Chill part came to an end. It was, I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. I'm sorry. I don't even know what I've been reflecting on a relationship. It's been nice seeing him.
Yeah.
We've seen each other the most in the last 2 weeks, than we've seen literally in the last 2 years. It's not an exaggeration.
And last year was like, we truly hardly ever saw each other. Yeah. Like our days were complete opposites by the time Be More Chill was running. And it was very insane. And, you know, we've both been pretty lucky with work, but it's really hard being away from someone you love so much. I mean, I was out of town for 2 months. He was in London. It's been a lot of time apart, which for really good reasons, but it's nice to see you.
Yeah. A positive
It's been busy.
Side effect of the very
It's been busy. And also, I feel like we you keep reminding me when in times of this where I'm like, I got to do something. I got to get up and do something. I've been saying for a few months now, like, I wanted to take this time anyway to have a break. I really was planning that in my life. And now there is no choice other than having that happen. For better or worse. I mean, I wish what's happening isn't happening, but.
Right. Yeah, I think like the world sometimes it throws craziness at you, and how you handle it and how you like look at it. Because I think at first everyone was just freaking out, and a lot of people are still freaking out, and that is so valid in every single way.
Yes. Yeah.
But then also taking a moment to breathe and think, okay, well, this is my circumstance. How am I going to handle it? Because we can't do anything about it except for stay inside. And not
you kind of have to, because like what are we gonna do, sit in here and worry and beat ourselves up and freak out for months? Like that's not an option. That's not healthy either. Of course you need to take realistic stock of what's happening in the world and do what we can to help that, but you can't just sit inside and be miserable. It's it's no one can survive that.
Totally. So I know a lot of people are asking about Hunter S. Thompson and Punk Rock Girl and just all the fun things that you have lined up. So talk about that.
Yeah. So I'm you know, currently working on a few of these musicals that I've been involved with. And so, so the Hunter S. Thompson musical, it's this show I've been working on for years and years and years and years and years. And it's about Hunter S. Thompson, shockingly, who wrote Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and was sort of a counterculture hero writer, invented gonzo journalism, rose to prominence in the 60s. And that show, the hope is that it will be at La Jolla Playhouse next year. That's what we've been working toward. And Chris Ashley has been directing it and developing it. And so, and so hopefully we will be able to do that production there. I wish that I had concrete information. I don't right now, sadly. That's the hope. We're working towards having that thing on a stage in a year from now at La Jolla Playhouse. That is the hope and the goal. And I'm saying it out loud so that if it doesn't happen, I can tell everyone to write letters to, I guess, La Jolla Playhouse and say, the show.
No letter campaigns.
No letter campaign yet. I'm saying in a year. If it doesn't happen
in a year.
Then press the button on the letter campaign. But for now, just like let it slide, you know? So there's that I'm really excited about. And then Punk Rock Girl is going to be at the Argyle Theater on Long Island in September. And, Punk Rock Girl it's a jukebox musical. I never thought in a million years I would write a jukebox musical because obviously, I write music and lyrics. And so, why would I write a jukebox musical? But I got excited to write this because, I'm really writing it for licensing purposes.
Right.
You know, the reason that this show kind of exists is so it will then be licensed to high schools and community theaters and all that. And I got excited about writing something that will force the people who put on the show, be it a high school or a community theater or, a college, what have you, to cast women in the lead roles who normally don't get cast as the leads in the shows. So it's like gonna be really hard to cast like the ingenue. It's gonna be really hard to cast the kid who plays the traditional romantic lead in other musicals in this musical. And so the whole thing is just it's parts for like the kids that are a little bit off the beaten path. They're parts maybe for young people who typically work backstage, parts that aren't that huge, that if someone wants to dip a toe in performing who might not normally, there's stuff like that in the show. So that's like the driving force behind the show. And I'm so excited that we get to premiere it at the Argyle on Long Island, where I'm from. And I think it's gonna be really, really dope. It's being directed by Jen Warner, who's one of my closest collaborators, and she directed Broadway Bounty Hunter and choreographed Black Suits and we've worked and Blood Song of Love. We've done so many things together. And so it's this really wild show. It's really nuts. And Rokicki is working on it with me and so many people who have been involved in stuff I've done before. And so we're excited to just get out there in the fall and make a really insane the jukebox musical that celebrates misfits, you know?
And I love how misfits are always such a nice theme of your musicals and makes us quirky people feel included, especially like seeing Love and Hate Nation. Oh my God, was just so much fun. I felt inspired and, you know, yeah. Who thought I'd want to go to New Jersey for something like this? But I did.
Yeah,
you went to New Jersey.
That's one of my goals, to get people to go to New Jersey for theater.
Exactly. And funny enough, Red Bank, New Jersey is also the host of Comic Book Men, which is a show we've been watching on TV. And so thinking about going back there for when another show is being played. So it's kind of fun when everything starts spreading out and you find out about new theaters.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's like, I'm obviously like, I love New York City, like very deeply. But theater doesn't just happen here, you know, theater happens all over the stinking place. And I love that I had the opportunity to have my stuff in theaters, you know, all over the country and now all over the world, like getting to play for audiences that aren't just the New York audience has been really, really cool and really helpful, you know, because not everybody can get to New York City. And like, that's such a thing that, you know, in my dream scenario, like I would love to be able to make theater, you know, more affordable. I would love to be able to like get, you know, filmed versions of shows out there into the world.
Of course.
Because not everyone can literally get their ass to New York City. You know, doing what I can.
Totally. Yeah. And I think, I mean, I have been following like the Be More Chill posts a lot about like London and Chicago. And I think right now with everyone's just kind of like keeping an eye on those things. To the fans watching at home who are, you know, is there anything you want to say about, you know, Be More Chill?
Yeah, thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for loving it. Thanks for caring that it exists, that it comes back. And everyone involved in Be More Chill, I can assure you, is literally working every single day to make sure the show comes back in London and to make sure that it happens in Chicago. And we're all really feeling positive about those things, you know, those things happening. It's like the ultimate, like, you know, who knows what'll happen, but everyone who is involved is looking forward to the day when our productions can pick up again. And, you know, doing the show in London and getting to like, you know, immerse myself in that theater scene a little bit and getting to meet like all of these, you know, new fans of the show who had either been following it for a long time and weren't able to see it in New York, or people who were just like sort of hearing about the show fresh and coming to it. It's really made me feel like, oh yeah, like this actually is a musical that people like, you know, and it which sounds so silly, but it's just, I spent so much of the last 2 years trying to, you know, convince people to come see it or be like, you gotta come see the show. It's, you know, it's this and this and this and this. Like, I felt like I spent so much time like selling it to try to get people to buy tickets to keep the doors open that I forget that like, oh, this actually is a show that people like. People
dig
it, you know? So
pretty big fan.
It's cool. Yeah. She's a big fan.
I like it. It's good.
Super smart.
Yeah, it was cool. That's definitely the show I've seen the most on Broadway, which is pretty awesome. Like I think I saw it 6 times because of all the Wednesday. Like, it was so cool to have these post-show hangs and inspire fans who, you know, I met so many other fans that said, you know, this was my birthday present or my Hanukkah present or something because I'd already seen it, but I wanted to see it again. Actually, Lauren, at your concert at the cafe, I met some really cool families there who said, oh yeah, we flew in to be at the final Be More Chill performance and we got to see Lauren perform here as well.
It's that those gigs were, that was so, so cool how many people came to those random cafe gigs. I was not expecting that, but it was so sweet to see families there.
Yeah.
And then coming to Be More Chill as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Broadway fan is asking what happened to the Be More Chill movie. Do we have any info on that?
You can have no official info, but it's still in the air. It's still in the movie air, and like we'll see what happens. But it's like it's still a thing.
Cool.
We'll see.
Amazing. Bounty Hunter album release party, asked Cindy.
I mean, I hope so. I hope so. The Broadway Bounty Hunter album is recorded. We've been working on it, and I think it's going to be out hopefully very, very, very soon. And the album sounds, it sounds amazing. Like, it's, you know, I don't want to be an asshole, but I mean, I can be an asshole about this. The album sounds incredible. And even if you hate the show, which, like, fine, your choice, I refuse to believe that anyone could listen to the album and not be like, this is a really good sounding album. And that's like Ian Keggy and Charlie Rosen and Jeff Koe. Our music team is just like the greatest, and I'm so, so, so proud of it. And so it's gonna come out soon. And hopefully as soon as people can be in the same room together, right, we can get a listening party or some sort of release party happening for Bounty Hunter. Cause it's like, it's pretty badass. And you want to, you know, be able to dance to it.
And I can vouch for it sounding awesome. Cause even though I like kind of wasn't supposed to hear it cause it like wasn't done yet, Joe was listening to it through these really old headphones that was almost like they amplified. Like, it was actually there. So I heard most of the entire thing. It sounds great.
I don't have nice headphones. The only pair of headphones that I have, I think, are literally from, I don't know, 15 years
ago.
They're
like speakers.
And they're so big. They don't do anything that headphones should do. So no. I don't even know why I use them. I need headphones.
So the album sounds great.
Yeah, it sounds great.
And then Richard wants to know if there will be vinyl for that, you know?
I hope so. This is another thing, Richard and everybody. If you want a vinyl of any of my albums, you gotta hit up Ghostlight Records.
My God, the letter campaign.
Write them letters, tweet at them, go nuts. Because the only way that the companies make this stuff, because it's so expensive, is that they think that people will buy it. Totally. And so let them know. Just let them know. They would be thrilled to be like, oh my God, all these people are talking about wanting a Bounty Hunter vinyl. I want it on vinyl so badly because the show literally has a song called Spin Those Records. And yeah, I think it would be such an embarrassing crime if the cast album did not appear in record form. Like, give me a break. Let's put it on vinyl. It's there.
Get those letters out there.
2020, we're making it happen.
Yeah. Write letters about important things first. Like, write letters, you know, to your congresspeople and write letters, like, to the government. Like, let's, like, actually get some, like, change going here. After you've done all of that and you want a palate cleanser letter, write a letter about my cast album being on vinyl.
Like that you're using all of this, like, newly found virtual time to stress letter writing. Yeah.
I'm talking pen, inkwell, dip, 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 paper, write your letter, dear Ghostlight, vinyl please, sign your name, fold it up, get out wax, get out a flame, flame to the wax, get out your stamp, stamp it, and then deliver it to Ghostlight Records and other and theaters that you want to see my shows to.
I think the newest merchandise should be like a Joe Iconis and family like stamp thing that people can dip that in the ink and press it to the back.
Should do that. Like the candle set.
Yeah.
That's, I love that. That's a great idea.
Thank you. That's the creativity that we're bringing to the table. And yeah, I know you've been talking about that with Love and Hate Nation as well. So
Yes.
So yeah, write to your Congress people, make sure important things like rent control and rent, you know, in this crazy time, like all those really important things that you would think people would just be like, this would make sense. Let's help the people who've lost a lot of jobs. But you know what? Just have your voices heard and then have their voices heard on the vinyl.
Yes, exactly. Cancel rent first. And then.
Yes.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Okay. Thank you. I'm glad that you like the merch idea. I am sending Carrier Pigeon. Awesome. Yeah, maybe we can get a little like Hedwig action as well. That would be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Owl Hedwig.
I know.
You knew it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Harry Potter, but I recently have been rewatching the films, and so I was excited to chime in about that.
I don't know Harry Potter, I don't know Marvel, I don't know all these things everyone's supposed to know. Sorry.
But I have to say, I really enjoy the idea of Hedwig and the Angry Inch also delivering you the letter.
Yes, with love.
Yes. Oh, that's look at that.
Props. It's like we have all these props here. I'm just waiting to use them and bring them out. Glasses.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this prop.
What else you want to see? A lot of stuff here.
You have any fun facts, any fun surprises that like what is like the craziest item in your apartment that you could show us?
Oh, okay.
The craziest item.
We have a lot of, I'm going to the wall. You have what? What are you going to go
grab for? Grab the candle of you, first of all.
Well, these are.
So this is a piece of fam art, and it's a candle of Lauren, and then it says kitten on it.
Yes,
we so have that's some. Pretty fun.
We have some Diane. Joe's lawyers gave us some Diane kitten pillows.
Oh my god!
Like it's me on a pillow with Diane on the front, and then just on the back, it's just Diane.
Yes, this was taken at Red Bank when we originally did Be More Chill.
Yeah,
1.0.
Nice.
We have so much stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of cat-centric.
Great stuff. A lot of cat.
And is Diane just chilling in the house somewhere?
Where is Diane?
She's on her little thing.
Yeah.
Her cardboard thing.
Fair.
She's hanging out. I'll grab her. Lauren can't pick her up because she's allergic.
Same. But. Oh, yeah. So I saw that in the last video. I, too, am allergic to cats, so.
Do you have a cat?
We have a dog, actually, who's sleeping adorably.
You know, today is the 1 year anniversary. Bailey Ford reminded me of when I went, we fostered a dog for 2 weeks and Bailey went with me to pick up the dog. And it was, it went okay. It didn't go great, but also I've recently found out that I'm allergic to dogs, even though I don't really show symptoms.
No. Oh, okay.
Can we show off her feet just because they're so cute? Or do you think she's going to get mad?
Ooh, cute.
Splayed toes.
I woke her up from a sleep. She's not happy.
She's a little, I feel like it's coming, a jump.
Yeah. No, Slim, it's funny. Slim has two modes. It's either I want to run around everywhere and give you all the kisses, or it's I'm sleeping on this little foot bench that's over here.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Sleeping on a foot bench.
I will say that this time in our history, this quarantine time is Diane Kitten's favorite thing to have ever happened, ever. I don't know if your pet is like this, but
she
only wishes we actually were like ill so that then we could only lie on the couch and be there for her to be on top of.
Yeah.
I think she thinks that we just decided to hang out with her all day, every day.
Right.
She finds it very respectful this time.
She loves it.
Yeah, a lot of people think that cats hate everyone, but as they're spending a lot more time with them, it's like, no, they just want to be loved.
They want to be loved. And I like that they're really purposeful about who they hate. I appreciate that.
Creature. Purposeful hatred. oh my God, true. We want to put a party hat on your cat.
Oh my God. Not gonna happen.
Once we got like a Halloween costume on her, I feel like last year,
with
bunny ears, it didn't go well.
The position won't work. She's just not, she won't have it. We'll do it later and we'll send you a pic.
If it wasn't lost, I'd find her grooming tool because sometimes I hold it up to her head and it looks like a Kiki beret, but that's lost. So that was kind of the best. Yeah.
Fair. I like that the cat knows what it wants, and you respect that.
Yeah, always.
Cool. So we have some more fun questions here. And I know in previous interviews, we've spoken about your love for Little Shop of Horrors, which it's amazing the combination that it was your first show, right, that you saw off Broadway. And then, Lauren, you were just in it. How has like that dynamic of it having such a long-term personal connection to you and then getting to see Lauren in it?
It's, I mean, it's like, it's surreal, you know, it truly is like, it's the reason that I love musical theater. Like it is so a part of who I am as a writer.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, and Ellen Green's performance in it is so iconic and really is like something that's like truly inspirational to me. And so to then like see Lauren Marcus in it, it's just, it's like a really bizarre thing. I've been lucky enough to have like shows, you know, a few shows like that kind of like thread through my life in weird ways, like Merrily Roll Along is another one. And it's just like, it's a nice like reminder that I'm on the right path or something, or like the musical theater gods think I'm on the right path, maybe.
True.
Right?
I think so.
Yeah. Little Shop. I haven't seen the revival. I haven't seen the one here.
I know. I really, really, really want to see it. And we've tried a few times, but haven't been able to.
Yeah, that was a really fun one. I've never gotten to see it in person. And I'm that type of person that if there's a live performance of a show and there's a movie, I want to see the live performance first before seeing the movie, which for shows like that, and there are a few other ones that people are like, I can't believe you haven't seen it. It's like, well, I'm waiting for that perfect moment for it to be performed live.
How are you feeling about the upcoming Little Shop movie?
Well, a little conflicting, but I did get to see Groff Sauce in it. So,
okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So we, my friend Anna Spikerman and I had tried the lottery, the in-person like lottery, like every day for a week. And, actually, this is what a good friend she is. We kept doing it like it's two people can enter and then you can get one or two tickets. But they only had like 10 or 20 tickets available. It was a very small amount every time. And she had that or something else she could go to. And she came and she won the last ticket and gave it to me.
That's such a good
that's
friend.
Very, very sweet.
Big fan. But she did get to see it afterwards. So like it's all good in the world. Cause that, you know, that's like one of those things in your heart that you're like, oh, I got to win, but I also want you to enjoy that. So now that was great, but I don't remember who they've cast for that, but I'm always a big fan of like actual musical theater people being cast in these roles. Right. So we will see. How do you feel about it?
I feel excited. I was nervous. I'm not gonna lie to you. I do not know who the guy is who's playing who's gonna be playing Seymour, but I know that Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
I don't think it's been officially.
It's not official. It's not official.
Okay.
Just, you know, press releases.
Yeah.
That it's a Scarlett Johansson who, you know what? She's a singer. I think she's maybe one of the best actresses ever. Like, okay, I'm ready to see what the hell happens if she's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know who the guy is who's playing Seymour, if that's real.
I have something to tell you. I have something to tell everyone. It's me. In the big studio Little Shop remake.
Get out! No way! You heard it here first. I honestly thought he was about to announce, like, actually announce something. I really got nervous. Like, I don't know why you'd have insider info, but it just really scared me.
I have insider info on my own casting movie. Yeah, no. No, I don't.
It's like when I see 212 pop up on my phone, it could be anything.
Right, you saw Broadway's
It's Broadway. It's never Broadway. Could be a doctor.
CBS.
I gotta wash my hands really quickly. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Washing hands is always a good idea, especially if you're allergic to cats and during this time.
Yes, exactly. Both things.
Yeah, there are a lot of people commenting that they were supposed to see Little Shop, especially with Jeremy Jordan coming up. But you know what? Things are going to happen, right? Like everything works out in weird ways, and even things that don't necessarily work out how you were hoping they would, they find a new life.
It's a new life, you know, always.
Yeah. So we'll chat for a few more minutes, make it a nice even hour, which is, appreciate your time so very much.
Oh my gosh, luxurious.
You're awesome.
It's a great.
It froze, so I'm gonna say thank you. I have no idea what you just said.
Can you hear me now?
I can, just like the commercial.
Okay.
So someone wants to know what you two have been listening to a lot of recently.
I've been listening to this album by this band called US Girls a lot this week. I've also been listening to it's this artist. I don't know how you say his name. It's like Boniface. It's Boniface. I think he's okay. Canadian. I like his album a lot.
Nice.
What else I've been listening to? I'm listening to the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood soundtrack. That's been like on constant repeat since it came out over the summer. I listened to some Rolling Stones yesterday because I was trying to get in like a Hunter S. Thompson mindset.
Yes.
I listened to Pump Boys and Dinettes original cast recording because it's just always, you know, bangers, bangers, bangers. And I listened to some Radiohead as I was in the shower this morning because I'm a white man and that's what we're supposed to do.
Fair.
Yeah.
I listened to, I've been making my way through this Vampire Weekend album called Father of the Bride that Joe gets a lot of like record album, vinyl records. And so, usually when I'm cleaning the apartment, I will pick one out at random, I don't know, put it on and listen to it. I don't know if you know that I do that, but I do that.
I know that.
I do that. And so I actually really love it. I love pop music and I love non-musical theater. I'm just bad at finding it. And he's a very good curator. He'll tell me usually what I might like and he's usually correct. So I listen to that. I listen to Haim. They had a new single that I hadn't heard till last night, really good, called The Steps. Other than that, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's it. That's been my week, I'd say.
I love it. I'm really impressed with how many people have been asking these awesome questions. I just want to like make sure all their questions are heard.
Yeah.
As you can see, I'm not wearing glasses, so I'm like, ooh, I'm
an
old person. I actually did just order new glasses from Zenni.
Yeah, love Zenni Optical. Sure.
I'm very excited. I saw them on the subway like a month or two ago. And it's one of those things that you see the subway ads and you think, should I give that a try? And then Rashida Jones, is that her name? Uh-huh. Trying them on. And I was like, your face looks good in them. So maybe mine will too.
And they're so cheap. It's amazing. And so it's like, what's nice is you can get a million pair and then have them littered around the apartment. So whenever you need a pair, like that's what I do. There's no rhyme or reason, but there's usually a pair floating around.
Yes. Yeah. I just got ones, tortoiseshell, which I've always wanted.
Ooh, love a tortoiseshell.
I'm a Maryland Terrapin, go Terps. And I've always wanted a nice tortoiseshell pair.
Yeah.
And these have blue light reflection or whatever it's called. So Cambria asks, hey, Lauren, is there anything that sticks out that really helps you with your skills with physical comedy? Because you're so funny and I adore your characters. Ditto.
That's really sweet. Yeah, I mean, this, I feel like to get... I feel like I have spent years practicing letting go of what I might look like when I'm doing something, if that makes a lot of sense.
Totally.
It sounds much easier than it is.
Yeah.
And I think that I realized somewhere around, I don't know, like 7 or 8 years ago, that being worried about what I look like, or if I've done the wrong thing, or if I've messed up, or if I physically look weird or like hideous while I'm doing something has only, will only hold me back.
Right.
And I've worked really hard at when I feel super uncomfortable physically leaning into that.
Yes.
And I think what has happened now is a lot of that's gone and I trust just my natural impulses so immensely, that I let my body do the first thing my brain thinks it should do. And sometimes that's wrong. And sometimes that means I fall on my ass. But I do think it tends to be the funniest thing is the first thing your brain thinks of. And it's the thing before the other part of your brain goes, don't do that. That's really stupid. Because, I mean, you could apply that towards so many different you know, ideas, but I don't tend to sit and think through something physically. I just feel it. And I've tried so hard to get rid of most of the, like, don't do that. That's stupid. Yeah. You'll look stupid. You'll look ugly. Who cares? Who cares? Like,
yeah,
that's what I think.
That's a great answer.
Yeah. No, that is such a great answer, because so much about acting is just believing in yourself and believing in your instincts.
It is. Like, it's so funny. I think back to, like, I remember in college taking those classes and being so scared to do anything. It's really scary. You put yourself out there. You're very vulnerable. You don't know how it's going to look or what someone's going to think of you, that that's your decision. But ultimately, kind of getting rid of that little... I feel like in college, I maybe called it the committee who, like, weighs every decision.
Yeah.
Is the best thing you can do for yourself. It's not doing you any favors as a performer. None.
Totally.
So what if you fuck up? So what if you look stupid once, like, or a million times? I mean, who cares? At least you tried.
Yep.
At least you tried something interesting.
Yes. And we only have a few minutes left, so I'm going to have this be a double question from Lisa and Cass, which are, what have been your favorite quarantine snacks? And Joe, do you have any tips for new piano players?
yeah. My tips for new piano players would be, the way that I learned how to play piano was I took lessons. I had great piano teachers, Mrs. Jablonski, hello. I started playing a lot of things that I loved. Like, I would see shows and then try to pick out the melodies from the shows on the piano. And that was the thing that, like, got me through all of the nuts and bolts work of, like, learning how to play the instrument. All of the practicing, the scales, all of that stuff was so hard for me to get through. I hated doing it. And so if you're someone who's out there who's, like, who's struggling with all that stuff, I'm here to say, like, I agree, it's so not fun, but it's really helpful. And so I think that if you can pepper in some, like, you know, melody lines of songs that you really like, that was something that helped me get through all of the other garbage that you just have to, like, you have to embrace in order to be a piano player. So that's that. And then my favorite quarantine snacks is, the food is, like, a constant struggle with me. Like, I'm always, like, worrying about what I'm eating, and it's a real pain in the ass. But I like a hummus. Like, it's a good healthy snack. Yes. I like a turkey pepperoni situation. Sometimes I take the turkey pepperoni and dip it in the hummus as if it's
double.
It's like double. What a delight. If it's a sweet snack, I like a combination of chocolate and peanut butter in something. Mm-hmm. I'm not, like, a huge sweet guy, so I like my sweet stuff to have some kind of salty or savory component to it. But I mean, if I was snacking without any, you know, inhibitions, it would be like meat and cheese and bread. That's what I like, a meat and cheese board with, like, a lot of bread and stuff. That would be my, like, dream snack. Yeah.
My answer is everything. It has been out of control for me over here for about 2 or 3 weeks. This week I've been trying to rein it in a little bit because the snacks have been absolutely great.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it all. I like ice cream. I like chips. I like fruit. I like healthy stuff too. I love peanut butter. I love leftovers. What don't I like? I love every snack in every context.
When you just said ice cream, I thought you were going to say ice.
I like ice. I love ice.
Like, answer in an interview. We're obsessed
broccoli.
With this. Yeah. We're obsessed with, like, when, especially, like, theater people, like, when theater people are, like, I ask questions like that about diet, and they'll say, like, you know, oh, I love, like, if I'm feeling really naughty, I'll have 3 almonds. You have an eating disorder.
My favorite.
Why are we not just saying this? Why are we heading this behavior?
I'm not gonna say who this is, but this is, like, our all time favorite. It's an interview with, like, an actress who she talks about how she'll have half a Kind bar and put the other away, which makes as a meal. But then she says if she's feeling especially naughty or hungry, she'll put some marinara sauce on mushrooms and pretend it's spaghetti. And I'm like reading this article, like, this isn't good. Like, no. These are bad behavior. It gets worse and worse. I feel like just these two tricks, great. Like for a normal health, like a healthy, but like this is her everyday life. Like just mushrooms with marinara sauce, half a Kind bar and call it a day. Like.
Mm-mm. No, quesadilla is an ice cream for me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So no much happiness.
Away during this quarantine time.
No. No, if there's ever a time to just enjoy what you're eating and hang out, now is the time.
Enjoy. Yeah.
It's today.
It's today.
Yeah.
It's good.
Great. Cool.
Is there anything that you'd like to promote for people to be looking out for over the next few days, weeks, month, or year? Up to you.
I'll say keep an eye out for my Tiny Desk contest video. I'm really excited about that. Hopefully in the next few days. I think that's my major thing going on now.
That's a big thing.
Yes.
Yeah, keep an eye out for all the stuff that I mentioned. Broadway Bounty Hunter cast album, Be Marcello in London and Chicago, Punk Rock Girl at the Argyle in September. Write your local theaters about seeing Love and Hate Nation on a stage. Write your local record companies about hearing Love and Hate Nation on an album. Don't forget to write about the vinyl of Broadway Bounty Hunter. And yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. And for me, you can find me at B-Way Show. That's B-W-A-Y-S-H-O. And especially check out my YouTube channel that you are watching right now, because there's so much Be More Chill content and so much Broadway content in general that you can just like spend hours on. There's an Iconis and Family playlist. There's a Be More Chill playlist. And there's a Broadway and Beyond playlist that's just nonstop music for your enjoyment.
Cool.
We're going to go listen to it right now.
We'll go listen.
Yes.
Nonstop music sounds delightful.
It sure is. Well, thank you both so much for chatting with me, and enjoy the rest of your day and be well.
And Kit says bye.
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 We did it. Thanks for listening to the first episode of B-Way Show, the podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe so you can be a spy on the inside for future episodes. Plus, if you loved hearing all about the fancy glasses and items we spoke about in the episode, and of course, Diane Kitten, head over to B-Way Show YouTube to watch our full conversation. Thanks to Kyle Braxton, aka Geddon, for these awesome beats, Jelani Remy for the beautiful intro riff, and Chelsea Hill, aka Illustrating Diva, for the cool cover art. If this was your jam, you can become a Showtreon. Head over to patreon.com/bwayshow. We do weekly trivia and monthly video chats. It's a fun time. Come check it out. Thanks for listening. We'll see you at the show.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.